Ja, hab gute Woche. Es ist Hashem, we're in the last 2 weeks of the year. Next week, Yemitzah Hashem is Sliches. I want to start move a little bit through the coming weeks and then into Rosh Hashanah Be'ezus Hashem. We'll start with the following. People are often, is the famous statement that personal requests are discouraged on Rosh Hashanah. And this is, people are a little bothered by that. Because the feeling definitely is that if today's the Yom HaDin, you definitely want to be getting in our personal requests. So first of all, I just want to note that it appears from the Sfarim that the personal, starting a little technically, we'll get into it as we go along. But I just want to note that it seems from the Sfarim that the issue of personal requests is more an issue of if you're not doing tshuva and you're only coming with personal requests, then it's something of a chutzpah. But when a person is doing tshuva, and that's really how he's presenting himself to Hashem, and he also has requests, that doesn't seem to be a problem. I'm just saying that just to address the issue. But the point that I really wanted to make now is that the truth is that instead of worrying about that on Rosh Hashanah, I'll also make another note in parentheses. If you look out, almost anything you might think of is actually contained at different points. Avinu Malkeinu contains tons. The Tefillah of Tashlich contains tons. The Ribbono Shel Olam before Kriyas HaTorah contains a lot. Including Shul Kriyas HaTorah. But whatever the case is, it can be addressed. But now we're 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, we're not on Rosh Hashanah itself. And therefore, let's bear in mind that a lot of those requests can and should be put in now. Instead of first, Erev Rosh Hashanah or on Rosh Hashanah saying, hey, what's with all the personal requests? This really is very much what this little period is about. Particularly as we move into the days of Slichas, which is mamish that. It's mamish that. It's mamish about the Yom HaDin is coming. Why wait till the Yom HaDin itself rather than begin the discussions already earlier? This is what our Kadmonim are showing us by setting up the Slichas in advance of Rosh Hashanah. And this also, we see from various sources that it actually puts you in a better position the earlier you approached. I'm not going to get into all the ins and outs now, but there's a Gemara that indicates, says, slash indicates, that the earlier a person is judged, the more favorable the judgment is. And if you can position yourself, if you can cut ahead of the line, if we put it that way, on Rosh Hashanah, and get yourself in first, the things are more favorable then. I'm not going to get into all the ins and outs of it right now, but Itzel Petterburger and Koichvei Or says, how does it work? How does the line work? Who does get the privilege of getting in earlier versus later? So he says it very much has to do with when you put yourself in the line. The earlier you approach, the better of a position you're in. So therefore, let's already start thinking about it now. Utilize these next coming 2 weeks as time of tefillah. It's time of tefillah for all these things, those things we would like. Now, as I said again, this is not a halacha shiur, but I said that actually on Rosh Hashanah itself, okay, I have a good question here. We'll glean how to address it momentarily. On Rosh Hashanah itself, also, there is makom to get in the personal requests as long as it's not coming from a place of, completely oblivious to where do I stand with Hashem? I just know what I want. That's what it seems to be. That really seems to be the gist of the in. It says that people have no interest in tshuva, but they have a whole list. They're not interested in getting closer to Hashem, but they have a wish list for him. That really seems to be the criticism. So even on Rosh Hashanah itself, if you are in the right place, if you are in this mode of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, and you are in the mode of tshuva, making your efforts, then there actually does seem that it's okay to also insert your requests. But I want to come back to this discussion, the realization that, yes, this is the last leg toward Rosh Hashanah. And now is the time to be thinking about these things and to be not talking about, spending all day in tefillah, talking about doing it in a real life kind of way. But now already, not to wait for Rosh Hashanah, but to be thinking of the different things you would like to ask for and to be putting in those tefillahs now. And here I want to bring out, this is really what I was heading toward, an important dynamic in the way to approach Rosh Hashanah in general. When it comes to tefillahs, when it comes to the things that we're hoping for. So there's a very poignant letter in Sifsei Chaim. Sifsei Chaim was written by Reb Chaim Friedlander, who was nifter from cancer at a mamish young age, but a relatively young age. And there's a very poignant letter that he wrote from his sick bed in New York. He was mashgiach in a number of yeshivas here, Panovich, Yeshivat Netivot. And he wrote a letter from, it was Lamaitz, it was the last year of his life. He wrote a letter to his yeshivas from the hospital in New York where he was. And he quoted a Gemara on Rosh Hashanah, which very much brings out the way to approach the tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara on Rosh Hashanah says, Kama dekayif inish date malitve. The more we come with a lower head, the more advantageous it is. And we'll try to put this into practical terms. And the way the Gemara expresses this there is, Kol shana sherasha b'tchilasa mis'asheres b'seifa. A year that starts poor ends rich. What does that mean? What does that mean? So what that means in practical terms is, and this is how Rashi puts it down, it says, the more you approach Hashem, feeling like you're in need of his chesed, and all you have to rely on is his chesed, the more he'll cherish your tefillahs. The more he'll cherish your tefillahs. And this has two aspects to it. Rashi's lashon is you want to approach ka'ani ha'omed b'pesach. Imagine a poor person coming to beg. So a poor person coming to beg, there's two aspects to his request. First of all, he simply doesn't have enough. And I'm hinging on my request for you, everything that I'm going to need. I don't have enough food, I don't have shelter, etc. And number two is, I don't really have a basis. It's not like I have a claim. It's coming to ask a rich man for help. I don't have any kind of claim. I'm coming simply because I'm assuming you want to do chesed, right? But I'm not coming and saying, look, I've been sleeping in a sleeping bag outside your office building for the last year and a half, and I've been scaring away the cats. So you really ought to give me XYZ. Throw them out and say it's okay. The cats can't get in the glass door, right? So these are two aspects. The one we can approach Hashem with a feeling of, I need everything from you. Not like, okay, everything is misudar. I pretty much have everything I need. Just there's a couple of specifics that I would like. But life that I already have, I don't see any indications of that changing. This is okay. That's okay. That's not on my list right now. It's not in my consciousness on Rosh Hashanah. And the truth is that it is for many people find it hard to connect to the reiterated requests for life. Because I already have that. I don't plan on making any changes. So, like, why should I be stressed? There are other things I'd like to be stressing more. The things that I don't have. It's like Bishol Salanter says, sometimes we tend to think that there are two types of people. There are what he called in Yiddish the Gestorbenes and the Nicht Gestorbenes. There are types of people who die and the types of people who don't. And since I never did that until now, I'm consider myself and those who don't. That my point now is not to start, hammering home any kind of fears or anything. I'm trying, but the point that I am trying to make is that the more you can come to Hashem and say, it's not about fears, trepidations, but I realize that in the coming year, if I had life for this past year, it's not because, well, I had life, so I was okay. I didn't need to ask you for that. But it's because you were giving it to me the whole time. If every single day this past year I had food, Even on fast days, I had food at night. Every single day I had food. It's not because I don't need you to help me with food. It's because you've been giving me food every day of this past year. You know what? You might want to actually spend a little time thinking about that. Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to get upset. There's something a little ironic. If you open a calendar of the coming year, and some of the calendars, you open a calendar of the coming year, Tovshin Pei Dalet, okay, they're already out and available. Flip to the last page. The last page, it says, well, if you look at the last calendar of this year, on the last page on some of the calendars, it says, Tichle Shana V'Kilo Leisera. May the year and its curses end, and may the coming year with its brachas begin. Kind of like an order this year was just so bad. Let's move on to the better things. The funny thing is, if you buy a calendar this year and you flip to the end, you're going to see the same thing printed. They printed it before the year began, right? So what? They were already assuming in the first place what's going on. We would like to assume that in the coming year, it says, you know, let the year with all its brachas continue. But Avigdor Miller was not happy with the trend of using that as a standard greeting at the end of the year. Oh, let the year with this curse its end. It's true. It says in the Gemara about a very specific thing. We read the Parsha of Kisavah before the end of the year in order to have done with the curses before the next year begins. But he says, don't just say, oh, let this year with all its curses end. And look back at all the blessings of the year. On Rosh Hashanah, we were standing and asking for life. Look back and say, if I'm here now, apparently I was granted that. That's how he used to start. I think it was the first Shabbos of the year. I forget the first or second Shabbos of the year. He would get up and say, we've been given 6 days in Hashem's world, right? It's already into the new year. So to be able to look back and say, oh, I've been given life for a year. Why am I not concerned about food? Because Hashem's been providing it for me so plentifully that I never even had to really think about that. I want to sense that now. I express it in a tefillah for the coming year, Hashem, please give me life again. Please give me food again. I realize that it's not something that I have kind of like built into my system. I have life, I have food. There's a few things that I don't have, and Hashem, can you please give me those too? But the more we can step back and recognize that all the bracha we have, in whatever realms it is, now this is really endless, because you know it really will start getting overwhelming, because if you can start breaking it down and saying, oh, eyesight, let me daven for eyesight, hearing, let me daven for hearing, I have a functioning kidney, brain, heart, lungs, etc., digestive system, respiratory system, etc., it's going to get a little bit overwhelming. So you have to draw the line at some point. But in a very basic way, this is a very, it's a chashava exercise. And this is what makes Hashem cherish your tefillahs more. It makes Hashem more conducive to answering your tefillahs. If you're coming from a perspective of, it's not that I have a number of things, a whole bunch of things under my belt already, and here are the things I still need. But rather, oh, let me look back at the previous year. What did I have in that year? It's not a bad exercise to spend a little bit of time thinking of, spending some time between now and Rosh Hashanah thinking of the good things that happened to me that last year. Good things can include good things that have been happening to you for the past 65 years. Those are also good things. As we said, beginning from life itself, beginning from life itself, that Hashem gave you a place in His world. Again, we're not going to be able to get overwhelmed with the tens of thousands of details, right? But to take a few of the basic things and to add them to your list of things that I need Hashem for. A few basic things. Choose a few basic things. Don't let it get all over the place. Don't let it get too overwhelming. But choose a few basic things that I'm not really wondering about for next year. You know, again, essentially you have to wonder about it, everything. But let's keep it within our frame of reference. And to be able to come and say to Hashem, I'm recognizing that the reason I had it up till now is not because, of course I'm alive, why shouldn't I be? Or, of course I have food, everybody has food. But it's because you've been giving it to me on a regular basis. And therefore, I'm going to make it feel about that too. You gave me life for a year. Please give me life for another year. You gave me food for a year. Please give me food for another year. You might want to move through the Birkas HaShachar, right? Looking at the different elements there. Again, don't do it to an extent that you're going to start getting overwhelmed, but a few basic things to pick. And this will give you a sense of the idea being, again, Kani Aymed Bapetach, you approach Hashem and your tefillahs with the sense that without you, I have nothing at all. I'm not approaching you like a well-to-do businessman who wants a loan so I can start another branch of the business. No, I'm approaching you, Kani Aymed Bapetach, without you, I have nothing at all. This is one thing that Chazal tell us, put you into a more advantageous place. That's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure. I got it right. For your tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah. And then there's another aspect of Ka'ani Aymed Bepetach. Ani Aymed Bepetach in the sense that I don't have a claim. Meaning I'm coming and telling Hashem, I recognize that anything that I have from you is pure chesed. I'm not coming and saying, well, Hashem, look, I've made efforts in the last year. Look what I did for you. I've been going to shiurim, this, that. And therefore, Hashem, I feel like I have room to ask for X, Y, Z. It might be so. Even when it's so, you know, we've been learning the Chavis Havavis that at the end of the day, you're always in minus toward Hashem. But whatever the case is, if you can come and say, Hashem, you know whatever efforts I did for you. I know you see that. I know you recognize that. I know you're going to reward me for that. But I recognize that even those efforts that I made, it's because I was utilizing the koichos that you gave me. And if you can come and tell Hashem, I'm asking for this with the realization that it's not coming to me. Dai, you know, it's already plenty, the fact that you gave me a place in your world. Why am I asking for it? Because I know that you're a Baal Chesed. I know that you love me. And I know that you want to give. And therefore, I'm asking. So these are two approaches. These are two approaches that we can use to enhance our tefillah. It might kind of feel like we're a little letting go, we're a little like putting ourselves. No. It's about creating a real dynamic with Hashem. It's about really knowing our place in the relationship. And this, we see in the Chavis all of this at length, that Kenia, when a person approaches Hashem with the proper dynamic, when a person approaches Hashem knowing his place in the relationship, that you're everything and I completely depend on you for everything that I already have, and I have nothing to offer you in return, I just rely on your chesed, Hashem says, ooh, you are in a very, very real place in a relationship with me, and that's what I value. That's what I cherish. And therefore, yes, I find your tefillah especially appealing. And that, as Chazal says, is a shana shunis asher is b'seif. So this is how it's done. The approach to the tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah is with that sense of Hashem, I have nothing except what you give me. Everything that I already have, I realize is completely yours. And again, if we only use life as the example, that's already a very great accomplishment. Life is not something that belongs to me, that I'm entitled to. It's something that you gave me with great chesed last year. And again, like we said, focus on that. When we're asking for life for the coming year, focus on the fact that I asked for it last year and Hashem said, I'm going to give it to you. So we're already at the end of the year. We can look back and say, wow, look, my tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah last year were accepted. To tell Hashem, I recognize that all that is coming from you and that you gave it to me for free just because of your chesed. And that's my basis for asking for more. So that's number one. These are two approaches that actually might feel like, oh, I'm making myself feel too dependent. That's exactly what makes Hashem cherish his relationship. According to the Maharal, so just one moment, I'm going to get through it. According to the Maharal, that's the whole concept of Avodas HaTfilah. We talk about Tfilah being Avodah Shebelev, right? Tfilah is known as Avodah Shebelev. The Maharal says that you want to use your Tfilah to develop a sense of dependence on Hashem. That's the Hatzlacha of Tfilah. If I can daven for refuah, and thereby, it's not that, well, I have a whole bunch of different plans in place, but let me get tefillah also, just in case I'll need to fall back on that. But if through my tefillah for refuah, through my tefillah for parnasa, I can internalize that I actually depend on Hashem for that, Gemara can develop that sense of dependence on Hashem, that is the Hatzlacha of Tefillah, and that's what actually brings you more into Hashem's graces. And so to speak, quote unquote, gives you that much more entitlement, quote unquote, for Hashem's Chasod. Why don't we stress health?
We need to be healthy. I mean, do anything for his father, and we need to be able to see. We have to have all of us. Doesn't say anywhere Chaim Shel Chayim.
This
if
is a.
Chaim Shel, we say Chaim Shel Chayim, Chaim Shel Chayim, Chaim Shel.
Question is, why don't we talk about health? We talk about life. We talk about life in all kinds of forms. Why don't we talk about health? Oh, okay. So we're ready. So we're ready. So already seeing that if you look around, you'll see a few places where apparently health is being referenced. And that's one example. Chaim Shel Chilus Atzama, he's right, might mean strengthening of bones. What it really means is energized life, an energized life, a vitalized life. Besides that, I think that you can insert it. I've wondered about that also. I think you can understand it as being included in a request for bracha, right? Chaim shel bracha. Bracha includes health. Shalom includes health. It's important to realize shalom doesn't just mean that you're not fighting with people. It doesn't just mean lack of strife. Shalom means, really what shalom in its broader sense means is harmony, that everything is as it ought to be. So if we want to put a stress on health, you can put it into the words bracha, the Sefer Chaim, bracha v'shalom, right? We're asking in addition to Chaim, bracha and for shalom. Presumably, we can put our kavana for health into those words. And I'll just add also, if you want it mamish explicit, you'll have it in the tefillah of Tashlich. There it's, they actually have the words, if I remember correctly, the word koyach v'brius actually does appear there. So, yeah, you can find it. You can find it. Okay. So this is still about the tefillahs toward Rosh Hashanah. Allow me to move on to the theme of Rosh Hashanah itself. Rosh Hashanah. So we come back to the point that, yeah, don't just spend Rosh Hashanah with your wish list. As we discussed, doesn't mean necessarily that you have to negate the wish list, but it's not the theme of the day. What is the theme of the day? So let's move ourselves, stop moving ourselves into the atmosphere of Rosh Hashanah. We can approach it from the following angle. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, right? Mi Yichya, or Mi Yamuz, etc., etc. Simply understood, it's a scary day. In fact, anybody who studies a little bit understands that even though Yom Kippur feels like the more heavy-duty day, Rosh Hashanah is actually the scarier of the two. Yom Kippur is a day that's Kulei Rachamim. And Rosh Hashanah is a day of Din. Why are we celebrating? Why do we have Sudas? Why the Yom Tov clothing, etc.? There is a Shita, which we don't accept La'alacha, but fast on Rosh Hashanah. So the truth is that this was already addressed. It's a pasuk in Nehemiah. Oh, pasuk in Nehemiah. That this was actually the approach of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. When Ezra and Nehemiah came back to Eretz Yisrael before they built the Seventh Mikdash, they found spiritual disrepair in Eretz Yisrael. People had been left there with the very simple folks. All of the learned had been carried off to Bavel. When they came back, they found a pretty bad matzah. People were married to non-Jews. And the whole matzah was one big mess. And they made a big kiruv program. And people were starting to realize quite how far they were. It says that when Rosh Hashanah arrived, everybody was sitting and crying. So Nehemiah told them the following pasuk. He said, L'chu ichlu mashmanim ushsu mamtakim v'shulchu malasayim nochimoy. Go, eat delicacies, drink sweet drinks, and send food also to people. If you know somebody who doesn't have enough of a suda, make sure everybody has a good suda. Ki kodesh hayom adonenu, because this is a very kodesh day for our master. Ve'al teyotzevu, don't be scared, don't be sad. Ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uzchem, because you're scared, it's hayom adin. Rejoicing with Hashem is your shelter. That's where you'll find shelter. What does this mean? So let's appreciate the essence of Rosh Hashanah. The din really is a consequence of the essence of Rosh Hashanah. The essence of Rosh Hashanah is kiviyochol, the coronation of Hashem. That's what's happening on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem is being crowned as king. What does that mean? Who is king today? Who is king on Erev Rosh Hashanah? It goes to a deeper understanding. What does it mean that Hashem is being crowned as king? What it means is that really Erev Rosh Hashanah is a completely new beginning. The world is being created anew. This is a deep concept which we're not going to spend a lot of time on now. It really deserves its own discussion. But like the Maharal says that the word Shana is from the term repetition, meaning it's not, time is not something that goes on and on and on straight. But no, it's something, it's like recycled. A year is done, that's it, it's finished. Now there's a new creation being made. So the world is mamish created anew. Each Rosh Hashanah is a new birth of a new world. If the world is coming into existence for the first time now, then again, we ask, who was the king yesterday? There was no world yesterday. There's a different world. In that world, Hashem was the king. Now there's a new world. So the first thing that happens is if there's a new world, Hashem is crowned as the king of that world. This is really the essence of Rosh Hashanah. It's a coronation. And this is why we say, don't put your whole stress on your wish list. The main focus of the day is Malchus Hashem, crowning Hashem as king. But there's an addition here. We're being invited to that coronation. And Hashem is cluing us in. Hashem is telling us that the whole world is being judged today. At a coronation, often a coronation goes along with judgment. The king takes stock, sets up his kingdom. What's going to be happening now? And Hashem is saying, by telling us, I want you to blow the shofar, etc. Hashem is, in essence, telling us, I want you to be present at my coronation. Why? Because you're my close circle. You're the ones who I want there. The coronation is being celebrated in Shamayim. Coronation is being celebrated in Shamayim. And Hashem is saying, you know, in Shamayim, the big deal is unimaginable. We got a little bit of an idea of what a coronation is like recently. And the truth is, Chazal encourage us to actually utilize the king's cover that we see in this world to get a bit of a concept of how to relate to Kvod Shamayim. So in Shamayim is a reality of, you'll see in the piyutim of the Malachim going on and on with the magnificent Shira, etc. There's this little like satellite called Earth. It's kind of like in the dark. But Hashem is saying, you're actually the close family. You're the ones who I want at the table. You're away on a mission now, a mission called Olam Hazeh. But I want you to set up a satellite. I want you to be celebrating with me because this is the day of my coronation. It's a day of great celebration for me, kiviyachol. You, as my closest family, should be the one celebrating with me. And therefore, now when you're standing in shul, if you'll be in shul, what whether you're at home? If you're standing in shul and you're saying Kaddish, 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 or you're saying, you know, all descriptions of all the malachim, you want to be focusing that they're all doing that and we're joining all that. We're a part of that whole commotion. We're a part of that whole grand event. In our satellite here, us in this shul here, we're joining all the commotion that's going on in Shamayim. They're saying Kaddish, 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 and I from here are saying Kaddish, 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 and giving Hashem the nachas of I'm crowning him also. And if you, when you're sitting down to the Yom Tov Suda, that's again the understanding. Why are you rejoicing? It's Yom HaDin. You know why I'm rejoicing? Because the fact that my Hashem has been crowned as king is reason for me to rejoice. If so, Hashem says, you're my close circle, of course I'm going to judge you differently. Of course I'm going to judge you favorably. If you're celebrating my coronation, the fact that I'm the king of this world is reason for you to be happy. If you're overjoyed because, oh, my Hashem, my father is the king of this world, that puts you in a different place. That is what gives you that security. If Hashem's coronation is a cause for celebration for you, you're in a very good place. You're in a very good place. So you're sitting down to the Yom Tov Suda, Experience it that way. I'm sitting down at the coronation feast, as Hashem's close family, Kiviyachal. I don't know exactly how it works. I don't know all the coronation rules. I think that actually with the American presidency, the way it works is that there's an official, like after the whole balagan, whatever they call it, inauguration. I know some fancy words. After the whole inauguration or balagan, whatever you call it, that night is like a special banquet for the close people, what the inauguration. So that night after the whole public thing, there's a special banquet for the family and friends. And this is what we're sitting down at the Suda on Rosh Hashanah. This is what we want to be experiencing. On the one hand, realizing that, yes, we have to be approaching Rosh Hashanah very presentable because Hashem, as he's taking the throne, is laying out, okay, what is my world going to look like this year? So he looks at each of us and says, okay, what role can you fill in my world? So we approach with that certain sense of, I want to be presenting myself in the best way possible. And that's what we've been talking about throughout Elul. I want to be presenting myself to Hashem in the best way possible. While at the same time, it's not just quaking with fear, beginning and ending with that, but rather a very great cause for joy. Yes, I'm presenting myself to Hashem with the knowledge that this is my father becoming the king, and I am a part of that celebration. I'm not like a common criminal who has to be scared. Okay, now there's a new king here. What's he going to do to me? I'm family. I'm family. I don't want to take this to take this a step further. You're celebrating. Why? Because once again, for me, the knowledge that Hashem is the king of my world is cause for celebration. But you want that to be real, meaning what we're trying to come out of in Rosh Hashanah, it's like you said before, you're kind of stepping out of Olam Hazeh for 2 days. Hashem is saying, I want you to join, right? Rosh Hashanah is a little bit, it's like a different reality. And I want you to join. You're joining the heavenly celebrations now. You're coming back to Shemayim. I'm summoning you back from your satellite on earth, your shul, at your home, at your table. You're joining the coronation now. And we want to come out of Rosh Hashanah into that Aseret Yemei Teshuva, into Yom Kippur, into Sukkot, coming out in a world where my world, Hashem is king. Here we have to very much bring in the personal angle. It's like Yisrael Salantis said. It says in Shema, when you're saying Shema, you're supposed to have in mind that you are crowning Hashem as king of the Shemaim Va'aretz in all four directions. But Yisrael Salantis said you have to remember one specific detail that's included in Shemaim Va'aretz in, of course, all four directions. And that's also you, right? So he's the king of Shemaim Va'aretz, and I'm part of that too. He's the king of me. This is the Hatzlach of Rosh Hashanah. To come out of it, where throughout the year I might have been distracted, my focus might have drifted, etc. I might have had other things going on in my life, but I'm moving back into a place where I celebrated Hashem's coronation intensely. I'm moving out into the year in a reality of Hashem Melech, right? That's the recurring theme in the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. Hashem Melech, Hashem Tzimloich, Tzimloich, Melech al Kol Ha'aretz, etc. I'm moving myself back into that reality. I'm moving out into a world where personal world, my own personal world, where Hashem is Maloi Cholor, it's Kavoidoi, he is my Melech, and that's my focus. And I want to end this off by bringing it out at the very deep point of this one makes. You know the famous Medrash that we've heard since we're little children, that when the Satan hears the shofar blowing, he gets frightened because he thinks it's the shofar of Mashiach, and he just can't prosecute, right? He gets like numbed. He gets muted. Everyone's familiar with that medrash. There's an obvious, heard that, right? Famous medrash. The obvious question is, I don't know if any of you have any experience with the Yetzer Hara. I know him, and he is quite a wise character. He's seasoned, knows what he's doing. What does that mean? Every year, again and again, he thinks Mashiach is coming. And that's it? How can it be so simple? It's a little simplistic. So Rav Dessler says something amazing. He says, the moment of the shofar is kaviyochel, the moment of the coronation. And that's why it's also actually the moment of the din. I know that the din somehow spreads over the full 2 days by different aspects of the din, but apparently the peak of the moment of the din is actually the moment of the Tkiyah Shofar. And it comes together with the fact that it's actually the moment of the coronation of Yochel. It's one of the kavanas of Tkiyah Shofar. It's like the blow that's heralding the actual moment of the coronation. By us standing, when Hashem tells us, I want you to blow the shofar, what he means, what the intent behind that is, right? Shetamlichuni aleichem ubameh b'shofar. Hashem is telling us, you know how you're going to come out of the Yom HaDin in the most optimal way? If you're the one actually crowning me with that shofar. Meaning, we're not just passively sitting by and watching Hashem be crowned, but we're stepping forward and saying, we're crowning Hashem. We're going to blow the shofar. We're not just saying, oh, Hashem is becoming king, I better do what he says. No. We're again expressing the same thing. Hashem's coronation is a great simcha for us. And not only that, we're furthering it. We're going to blow the shofar. As Hashem's people, we're the ones actually crowning him, so to speak. Now, if you're not blowing the shofar, it doesn't make a difference. Everyone is being mekayim the mitzvah through the blowing of the Baal Tekeah. So I am doing my own personal tekeah shofar, in which I'm coming and saying to Hashem, here, I'm presenting myself before you. Since that's the moment of the coronation, that's the moment when Hashem is actually looking at us. I'm presenting myself before you. How do I want you to see me? This is really the essence of it. How am I presenting myself before you for judgment? I want you to see me crowning you. I want you to see me being mamed as you as king. That's how I am presenting myself to you for judgment.
How does that impact the Christian woman being what the
Oh, so how do we deal with that on a year like this? So first of all, right now, let's talk about the second day. But you know what? The first day, you're right. I didn't even think of that when I was figuring out the shiur this year. But let's say it now briefly. It really deserves more elaboration. When we don't blow the shofar on Shabbos, we're actually making, to an extent, an even greater demonstration of loyalty. Because I'm coming and telling Hashem, you know what? It would be very favorable for me to be blowing the shofar, and yet I'm bowing to the fact that your will overrides even that. I'm showing a very, very great submission by not blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, even though I appreciate all the power that the shofar carries. And that submission itself carries that value of, so to speak, compensates it. I don't know if I should say, even in a certain way, can even show a greater demonstration. That's why some years we have it, not all years, but some years we have it in order to get that aspect of the demonstration too. Whatever the case is, we want to think of it in these terms. You're standing at the moment of Tkiyah Shofar, standing with your eyes closed, with your eyes open, whatever it is, but for illustrative purposes, you're standing with your eyes closed, and right now you're in your own world, and you are seeing Hashem being crowned in your world. The shofar is heralding, in my world now, I'm accepting Hashem as the melech of my land. Then you move out of Rosh Hashanah, as we said before. In your world, there's a clarity, there's a reality of Hashem melech. So you know why the sultan is frightened? The sultan is not frightened because he's being duped. He's frightened because he understands even better than us what's going on. He understands the value of it. There's another Jew there. We talk about the Gilu, the revelation of Hashem's kingship in the world. So that can, at the end, it'll happen all in one shot, the whole world. But you know what? It's also a process that can happen in one Jew's world, in another Jew's world, in another Jew's world. And the Satan is seeing, if I'm actually really approaching the Tkiyah Shofar correctly and experiencing that, Hashem is being heralded now as the king in my world. So something very real is happening. That Satan is saying, there, I lost another world. The Gilui actually happened in that world. In this person's world, there's a reality of Hashem Echad Ushmei Echad, of Hashem Melech. The Satan actually feels himself being squeezed out of existence. He's not being tricked. And it's not like, you know, we pulled one over him. He gets it. He gets it. It's a very, very real threat to him. I am squeezing him out of my world now, and he's being squeezed off the scene. So it's a build-up toward that. That's right. We're already beginning the process. It'll culminate, you know what, if enough of us do it properly, then it'll already have that whoosh, you know, it'll catch, and we'll see Bezos Hashem, that whole Gilo, you hope we'll see it this year yet. But each of us in our own world is actually moving it toward it by saying, in my world, it's already a reality. So bringing this all together, we're bringing this all together to understanding that in Rosh Hashanah, we're moving into a different zone, we're moving into a zone of a new world, a pristine new world, where we're being summoned and invited to be the ones present at Hashem's coronation, even more, crowning him. We're moving into a new world. We're being granted a new world called Tavshin Pei Dalet. And the first thing we say is, the most important thing for me in my new world is Hashem Melech. Not only am I attending the coronation, but I'm actively crowning him as my king. And yes, I'm depriving the Satan of my world. He's lost my world because I moved into that reality of Hashem Melech. And then we move forward into the year. Okay, then the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, you have to go and figure out, okay, what are the details? What does it actually mean to live in Hashem's world? And then you move into Sukkot, which is the unbelievable joy and rejoicing of that reality, of the reality we created of Rosh Hashanah. I'm being privileged to be of Hashem's closest circle in His world. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zeichet to move into this coming year on the greatest level, be zeichet to exceed chesim hatov in our own lives and see that Gilui take over through our own crowning of Hashem. Bezos Hashem.
Amen. Thank you very much, Rav Tovach.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.